Begin the current daf, Masechtas Bava Metzia, daf pay test. Begin 6 lines down from the top of the Amid. But the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf, from the top of this Amid, where we continue the halacha of our Mishnah, comparing the halachas that, as the title of our parak, Asaychas Apoyelim, when someone hires workers, there are certain criterion. One of them is the Torah mandate that the worker that's working the field is allowed to eat from the produce as he's working. And that is as the Gemara had compared it to the halacha of Leisachsam Shar Bedisha, just like when an animal is working. One is not allowed to muzzle the animal as he's threshing. So to the human worker, one is not allowed to stop him from eating from the produce. So turn on within the Braisa that it says in the Pasig Dayish, which actually the words in the Pasig Devar Mechavei Dalet is Leisachsam Sher Bedishai, one is not allowed to muzzle an ox when he's threshing. So as we said, although that halacha is told by an animal, we compare the animal to the human that's working, what the terminology of the Gemara is, the chesim to the nechsim, and the nechsim to the chesim. So there it says the permissibility of eating from the produce, which is for an animal, and so for a human, is tumah by thrashing. So that the Braisa equates and says, what do we learn now from that? Ma dayish miyuchad, just like thrashing is distinct. The davar shegedulei karka, it's something that grows from the ground. Moreover, and this girsa is taken out by the Marsha, but the Mefarshim explained it's obvious that Rashi had this girsa. It's b'shas gemar malacha. So too, which actually is going to be the subject of the next Braisa, that it's also something that at the time of the conclusion of the work, which is that's when the threshing is done, which is towards the end of the production of things that grow from the ground. And what do we see from that pasuk? Upay loichel bay. Again, as we said, because it's toma by an animal, but we learn out that a worker is allowed to eat from that type of produce. So afkal, so to everything, what do we learn out? The criterion is shekaduli karka. If it's something that grows from the ground, then pay loichel bay. Then the worker could eat from it. Now, says the Braisa, Yotza HaChaylev. So that excludes certain activities like milking a cow, Vamachabitz, which is another production part of the which is the solid part of the milk, or Vamagabin, or when you turn it into cheese, Shein Gedulei Karka. These are things that don't grow from the ground, it's from an animal. And therefore, that halacha does not require the worker to be able to eat from that produce that he's working on at that moment. Now, on this Braisa, the Gemara asks Lomali. Why do we need this pasuk of Daish to learn out this halacha? But the pasuk in Devar, Mechisavi Bekerem Re'acha Nafka. But as we learned in the previous daf, we know this halacha when it says when one comes into the vineyard of his friend, that is where the halacha is learned out from. That has to be something that's like a vineyard, something that grows from the ground. So why do I need this pasuk that Daish to teach us the halacha when we even know it from the context of the halacha of Payalim itself, of the workers, Psukim there itself? It has to be something that grows from the ground. So it was necessary for the Braisa to learn that from Daish. So we would have thought to say, since in those Pesukim, it says, besides the vineyard, it says regarding the standing grain, which we teach, which includes anything that's standing. And therefore, I would have thought anything that stands, meaning even an animal, is also included, even if it doesn't grow from the ground, there the halacha requires that the worker could eat from it. Therefore, we needed to have this limud from this pasuk of Leisachsam Shar Bedishai regarding the comparative properties of threshing, which is something that grows from the ground. That is where the halacha was only said for the worker's permit, and not something like that comes from an animal. Tani Iduch, another braisa. Again, as we said, the pasuk says Daish regarding threshing. So Ma Daish Meyucha, just like threshing is distinct. Davar shebishas gemar malacha, which and therefore the like Marsha takes this out because that's the subject of this brisa in contrast to the previous brisa, which the primary subject, as we see from the end of that brisa, was focusing not on being the end of the production line, but more regarding the fact that it grows from the ground. But that's what the focus of this brisa is, that threshing is something that's at the end of the work, which is now that's when you're concluding the work that you're doing. That's what threshing is. You have the grain, and then you thresh it, you get the grain out of the husk, and then you have the whole pile of grain, and you do whatever you want to do with it. And that's what Allah has said, that the worker eats from it. That teaches us that also, a general context, that anything that's at the end of the work, that's what the worker eats from. Now again, yatsa, that excludes hamanachish. If someone is weeding, which the assumption of the Gemara right now is that weeding generally is that you take out the bad ones and you throw that away. So you're weeding out bishamim or bibsalim with garlic and with onions. Since that's not the end of the work, weeding is when it's still in the growth and you just want to take out the bad stuff. So there, ein poi loichel behem. There, the worker who is taking out the weeds, taking out the bad ones, is not allowed to eat from that at that moment. So the Gemara asks, lomali, again, the question on this braisa, so why do I need the comparison to Daish to learn that this halachom? Mive'el kel yicholi sita nafka. I know this from a different pasuk in Devarim, which tells you that regarding the halacha of the worker, that to your own vessel, you're not allowed to put the stuff, meaning you're allowed to eat from it, but you can't put stuff in your own pockets. You have to put only to the vessels of the owner, which teaches us that it's when you're taking stuff and putting it into vessels, which is the end of the production line, that's where the permit to eat is, not when you're weeding. So why do I need to learn that from Daesh when I know it from the halachas of the worker itself and not the need for the comparative halachas from the animal threshing? Says the Gemara, Loitzricha, no. The case that we're talking about weeding is talking about Avagav dig, they call Mishalev Kitini. Even though that he's, when we say weeding out, there are certain onions that are like a eunuch, meaning that they never get large at all. And it's those smaller onions that are stunted that he's taking out Mebein Alimi from the large onions because he wants to expand the room where they could expand these larger and stronger and better onions. Now, what that means to say is that those smaller onions are being put now. They're not like weeds, which are garbage. They're smaller onions. They're just not going to grow anymore. So let's take them out so we leave room for the bigger ones to expand even more. So he's taking those onions and putting them into the vessels of the owner. That therefore, that's not being excluded from the halacha of kel yichalei sitein, because actually that is a time when you are putting into the vessel of the owner and you can't put into your own vessels. And therefore you would think from that pasuk that actually you could eat at that point. That's why it has to be excluded from the halacha of Daish, because it's not the end of the production line. Because the primary purpose of what he's doing in this activity right now is not for the collection of the small ones, but to be able to leave room for the bigger ones to expand even more, which they're still attached and they're going to continue growing. Therefore, the only way we're excluding this permit of eating is not from kel yichalei sitein, because there actually you are putting into vessels right now, but rather from the halacha of Daish, since it's not the end of the production line. Tiny dachon, and another braisa, another qualification. Daish, again, it says in the pasuk threshing. So ma daish miyuchad, just like threshing is distinct, that it's dover shle nigmer molachte lamaiser. Threshing is something that yet has not been completed, the activity to mandate maiser. Maiser generally is when you pile up all the threshed grain into one big pile. That's what's known as the garnai. That's when you have the chiyuv maiser. But threshing is a step before that. That's when poyalochelbay, that's when the worker could eat from the produce. Afkol shalei nigmer malachta lemaiser, so to anything which has not yet been concluded its activity in the requirement now of maiser, that's when poyalochelbay, that's when the worker could eat from it. Yatza, again, that excludes habaydel betamarim ubegregers. If there are dates or if there's dried figs which are attached, like the way they used to do it, they would kick them together. And this guy's job was separating with a shovel the attached dates or figs into separate pieces, where Hayuva Nigma Malachta Lamaisa, since it was already processed and actually was caked together. Now his job is now separating the pieces, so it already had the obligation of the maestress already. So then Ein Poy Loichel Bay. So although he's working with produce, here the worker is not allowed to eat because he already had the obligation of maiser that was chal on it, which again the heter of the worker eating from it is only before, like daish, like threshing, before there's a chiv of maiser on it. Now this halacha of this brisa must, but for tanu when the brisa habaydel b'tamar mubugregris, this other brisa says explicitly if someone separates the dates or the figs, poyel oichel by that the worker does eat from it. So Amar Rab Papa, he says, no, Kitanya, he, when did we learn that braisa? Beseichlone. That's talking about by inferior dates which did not ripen on the tree. And what they do is that they gather it to sustain, to make it reach its stage of maturity. They would put it into these baskets out of palm fronds. And that's where they would heat up and maturate over there and get ripened. Now, so it was before that it ripened that they had caked it together, and here when the worker is working on separating them, that's where it says that the worker could eat from them, because it has not yet been concluded its activity to have been obligated in maaser, because maaser only when it fully ripens. So yeah, although it's already caked and it's already past the normal stage of when you're chayav maaser, here since it's talking about that tamarim rois it has not yet reached the chiyuv of maisus in that brisa, and that's why that brisa said that abayil b'tamar b'gregus pile echel b'ay. But the previous one was talking about when you already had reached the stage of maisa. Tanidach, learn another brisa, another qualification. Da'yish, again, it says that this permit of the animal and the worker eating is by like something like threshing. So this brisa says ma da'yish meyuchad, just like threshing is distinct. Davar shalei nigmar malachti l'chala is something that has not yet been concluded its activity to be obligated in challah. And therefore the worker eats from it. So to anything that has not been concluded in yet being obligated in challah, which is the halacha that when there's someone makes a dough, you have to separate a certain part and give it to the kayin. So then if it has not yet reached that stage, then so then the worker could eat from it. Now Yatza, what does that exclude? Halash, someone needs, meaning that's the stage when water has been added to the flour and has been rolled together, that's when the chiyuv of challah is obligated. Although that you didn't finish yet making the bread, you still have to knead it, and you have to pound it, and you have to rub it. But these are excluded. So to vamakatif, if someone that is braiding and smoothing the surface of that challah, va'ayfa, and he bakes the bread, shenigmar malach lel challah, where whoever's doing that work, it has already been finished, that stage where the chiyuv of challah already started before he's doing his job, meaning when you're kneading or when you're braiding or when you're baking, it already had the chiyuv of challah the moment that the water mixed with the flour. So the worker that's working with that food is not allowed to eat from it because he already has the chiyuv of challah already before that. Now, that the Gemara wonders that why are we going to the criterion of challah, but didn't we just mention before that is a criterion of maaser? And therefore the question is, actually, forget about challah. Challah is at a later point in time. The obligation of maaser has already been even before that. So therefore, as Rashi explains, regarding grinding and sifting, which are even before kneading, also the worker should not be allowed to eat. Why are you saying that only by kneading and by braiding and by baking you can't? Because the chiyuv of challah already started. What do you mean? Chiyuv maaser started even before the earlier stages, and therefore you shouldn't be able to eat even by those stages. So why are you making dependent on challah when there's the element of maaser? Says the Gemara, Loikasha, no, it's not difficult. Because this price is Toma Bechutzala Aratzaskin and the Leka Maaser. Toma out of Eretz Yisrael, where there is no obligation of maaser. Therefore the criterion is challah. So the Gemara says, Ihachi challah namelak. What do you mean? If you're not in Eretz Yisrael, then the obligation of challah also does not apply. Where the biblical halacha is mentioned in Eretz Yisrael, not in Chutzlarts. So the Gemara says, you're right, right. This halacha is talking about even Eretz Yisrael, and there's no difficulty. Why? Because it's talking about b'sheva shekiv u'b'sheva shechelko. It's talking about during the 7 years where they were conquering Eretz Yisrael, and the 7 years where after they conquered, then they were splitting up and dividing Eretz Yisrael. Because the Amamah, the master said that sheva shekiv u'b'sheva shechelko, regarding this 14 years, 7 years that they conquered Eretz Yisrael when they came in with Yeshua, and the 7 years that they were dividing it, neschayu v'b'chala. Then, right when they came in, for those 14 years, there was already an obligation of separating the challah, but there was no ma'aser obligation. The reason for this is, it's because the pasuk, when it talks about the halacha of challah, says, b'vayachem el ha'aretz, when you come into the land, where the Torah changed the terminology that it uses by this entrance in Eretz Yisrael regarding the halacha of challah from all other coming ins. Because generally, the Torah would say, kisavayu, when they come in, and here it says, Bivayachim, when they come in, which means to say that the moment they come into Eretz Yisrael, there's an obligation of the chiyuv of challah. But by Maaser, the obligation was only after they first inherited the land and then settled the land. Like the pasuk says, Asa ta Asa, the halacha of taking over tithe, it says afterwards, Bamakam Asher Yifchor, in the place where they will choose, meaning up until that Shiloh, which is the Mishkan, was chosen, there was no obligation, and that was only after the 7 years that they conquered and then split it, as it says in Sefer Yeshua, because during the entire 14 years when they were conquering and settling Eretz Yisrael, actually the Oyel Moed was in Gilgal, in another area for those 14 years, the Gemara Sefer Zvachim, and therefore that's where the halacha was said regarding kneading being excluded in those later stages like baking, because then there's already obligation of challah, but the earlier stages like grinding and sifting, although generally they would be maaser, but there was no maaser in those 14 years, therefore that wouldn't be a halacha that would say that the worker cannot eat from it, and therefore the worker could eat from it. It's only the later stages of challah where there was that obligation already at that point that those workers cannot eat. Now on this answer, the Gemara asks, Midi maaser kugarim? What, do you really think that it's the halachic obligation of Maeser that causes that the workers should not be able to eat from the produce that they're working with? Gemar malacha kagarim. It's the conclusion of the work of process that causes that. Because what's the source of the halacha? From the word of da'ish, of threshing. Now, therefore, it doesn't make a difference if it's at a time when there is an obligation of Maeser or if it's at a time when there is no practical halachic obligation of Maeser. Because it's not the obligation of Maeser that caused the worker that cannot eat. It's just Maeser is like symptomatic of saying, when is the chiyuv of Maeser? When the work has been done. Then it's when you have the chiyuv of Maeser. So it's but the pasuk is not learning from the chiyuv of Maeser, it's learning from threshing. Threshing is right before the end of the work, meaning when there's no obligation of Maeser. So therefore the question is, during those 14 years, you're right, halachically there was no chiyuv of Maeser, but what was it? It was threshing is already, the grinding and the sifting is already after the stage of when you have the whole pile, when you have the obligation of Maeser. So even though there wasn't technically any Maeser, but it was already gemar malacha. And therefore, those activities should also not allow the workers to eat. And therefore, why are we excluding only the kneading and the braiding and the baking because of the chiyuv challah, when even the earlier stages already, the workers are not allowed to eat? So Elamar Ravina, rather Ravina says that actually these two previous braises that we mentioned, the halacha should not be mentioned individually, meaning as if the first braise was saying one halacha. We're comparing to threshing, which is distinct, where it has not been concluded its process for the obligation of Maeser, because if it was saying its own halacha, then again, as we said, then even once it reaches the stage of Maeser, you can't eat, so then the second braise is difficult. Why are you saying a later stage of challah when the obligation of Maeser already says you can't eat because of that? Rather, says Ravina, karuch v'tani. Actually bundle them, these two braises, these two halachas, and learn them as one halacha, which is da'ish. What do we learn from threshing? Ma da'ish miyuchad, just like threshing is distinct. Davash alay nigma malachtoi lamaiser ulachala. Threshing is something where it has not yet reached an obligation neither of maiser or of chala, which are things that both apply to, let's say, grain. And the worker could eat from it. So too anything which has not concluded its activity for whatever pertains to that thing. For example, let's say it's something that only has the halacha of maaser applied to it. Challah is only let's when you make dough. Not everything is turned into dough. So if it's something like the end of its activity is maaser, so then it's lamaaser. The criterion, the cutoff point is for maaser. Ulachallah, but if it's something that is then made into dough, which then the obligation of what's the end process, which is when you have an obligation of separating challah, is l'challa. So then poyalaychalbay. So then the worker could eat from it, yes, even after the stage of maaser, because that's not the conclusion of that process, of that thing which you're turning into a dough, is going to be the stage of maaser, which that excludes if someone that's separating the dates, which that was already concluded by the stage of maaser, because there's no later stage from it again, as we said. But that will exclude regarding the dough is the kneading part, because that's concluding its process for its latest stage, because it's turned into dough, which excludes grinding and sifting, which, yes, those are things that the worker could eat from it, because although there's an obligation of maaser, but that's not the end of the line for things which are turned into dough. It's only by those stages, or when there's already chiyuv challah, which is the end of the line, which is braiding and baking and things like that. Now the Gemara has Ibailu. The Gemara has the following question regarding this halacha that we're discussing, regarding the worker being able to eat from the produce that he's helping work with. Payal mahu sheyahaviv b'ur v'yech. What's the halacha? Could a worker go ahead and roast the produce that he's working with and eat it? Meaning these grains, where if you roast it, it sweetens the taste, so too with grapes. What's the halacha? Is he allowed to do that? So the Gemara explains the question. Mihavakan novim v'dava achar eloi. We learned in the previous daf this halacha of, yes, you could eat the grapes that you're working with, but you can't eat it with something else. It's only those produce itself. So when you roast it, is that considered something extrinsic to the actual thing itself because you're roasting it? So is it like grapes and something else which is forbidden or not? Because essentially all you're eating is the grain or the grapes. You're just roasting it. You're processing. You're just cooking it. You're roasting it. What's halacha? So the Gemara says, Tashma, come in here, let's bring a raya from the following b'risa. The b'risa says, Rishoy balabayis lahashkis poilim yayin. The owner is allowed to go ahead and give the workers wine to drink. That they shouldn't eat a lot of grapes. He knows that they're allowed to eat as they're working. He doesn't want them, so he gives them wine, which will fill them up. Now, moreover, the other side of the line too, Rishoyim Payel and Litavel Pita Mitzir. The workers are allowed to dip their bread into vinegar, which gives them a larger appetite, so they could eat a lot of grapes. So each one is allowed to do, which will extend their profit margin. One thing we see is that the worker could do things to extend his appetite, which is allowed to dip his bread into vinegar. So seemingly, that's the same thing of going and taking the grapes and roasting it, which is going to make it sweeter, make it more geschmack, he's going to eat more. You see that the worker is allowed to do things like that. So I think Mar says, we continue to Tamad said no. Lachshuri Gavra, for the person himself to prepare himself to be able to eat a lot, that was never a question, because that the Torah never made forbidden. That's not like a novim v'davar achar, because that was only said regarding something regarding the grapes themselves, which are being makshir and preparing and making more ideal for the worker the fruit itself. And therefore, kikim ebaylan lachshur peir, our whole question was regarding, are we allowed to prepare and make better the produce itself? My, what's the halacha? Are you allowed to roast the grapes or the grain? That was the question. So the Gemara says, Tashima, come and hear it from the following Brisa. Brisa says, poilin oichlim anovim. Workers could eat grapes, meaning they could delay their consumption until they reach berashay umni shalahem, to the head of the rows of the vineyards, which those are the revealed parts, they're at the edge, which the sun hits down directly on those grapes, and therefore they get sweetened, mimeged shemesh. But as long as he doesn't roast it in fire. So you see clearly that you're not going to go ahead and do procedures to fix the fruits itself when you're going ahead and eating it. And that's as you know, it's not a riot. Because hasam shum bita malacha. Yes, although it sinks clearly our halacha, but it's coming from a different angle. That's because of he's going to not be working during the time when he's roasting. And therefore, that is not allowed to do because he's hired to do work. Now, pick up your phone and I'll do other things during the time that you're working. That's why he can't roast. Our question was, where his wife and his kids, who were not hired by the homeowner, when they're roasting for him, my, what's halacha? That we wanted to know, where he's not going to be wasting any time from work, but it's going to be doing something to the grapes or to the grain. Is he allowed to have them roasted or not? So the one says, Tashma, let's bring it right for the following brisa. Says, Lo yahave b'ur v'yechel. A worker is not allowed to roast the produce in fire and eat it. And v'lo yichmer ba'adama v'yechel. Neither is allowed to warm it up by putting it into warm earth and then eat it. So to v'lo yafech agabe hasela v'yechel. He's not allowed to bang it on a rock and eat it, like those who do for apples. Aval mafech al yad. But he can crush it by doing it from hand to hand, and va'eichel, and he could eat it that way. So similarly, we have clearly the halacha of, again, le'yahava b'or va'eichel, he's not allowed to do a process to sweeten the produce by, let's say, crushing it or by roasting it and to eat it. So the Gemara says, no, hasam mishum bitla malacha. There it's also because of the halacha of whatever you're doing. You're going to be trying to bang it, or you're trying to be roasting, or trying to put it, whatever the process you're doing, it's not because of what you're doing to the produce itself, it's because of the time wasted that you're not going to be working. But again, the question would still be pertainable if he has his children doing it for him. And the Gemara actually says, it's actually logical the way we're answering. Because if you would entertain to say that the halacha is here, why they're being forbidden, is because of that, what it sweetens the fruits, and therefore maybe it's like a nav medavar acher, then sela my mituki perik. What type of sweetening of the produce is it when you're hitting it on a rock? How would that make it sweeter? Obviously, it's just because of the time that you're wasting not working and not because of resolving a question of sweetening the fruits. And I think Moshe says, no, it's not a raya. It's not true. It's not possible. That's not going to get sweetened a little bit when you have these packets of juice inside the produce, which when you bang it against a rock, it sweetens it. It lets that out a little bit. And therefore, it would improve it either way. So we're still back to the question about our halacha. So the message Tosha Matz being arrived from the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Poilin Shahoyu Oidrim B'Te'enim, regarding workers that were picking the figs, V'Goidrim B'Timarim, or they were picking the dates, U'Boitzim B'Anavim, or they were picking the grapes, U'Maiskim B'Zesim, or they're picking the olives. All these are different terminologies of gathering, of each species has its own unique term. Says the Braisa, Harei Elu Oichlim U'Baturim. So the workers, they could eat from this produce that they're working with. Moreover, they're exempt from the halacha of maaser, of tithing those produce that they're picking. In other words, the chiddush in that is that we don't say it's considered a mekach, which, as we'll see later, a purchase, an acquisition, actually considers it automatically obligated in the chiyuv of ma'aseh because it's machshav, and it makes it something chashav, just like when the end of the process makes it chashav, it makes it something significant. So too, by a purchase, it's automatically significant. Here we don't say that. We say that it's not actually a stipulation of payment, which would be like a mekach. Rather, it's because sha'atayri zichselam. It's that the Torah merits it to the worker. So that's not like a mekach, and therefore, it's still, since it's not the end of the production line to be chayav ma'aseh, so he could eat from it, and also there's no obligation of ma'aseh. Continues the b'raisa, b'pitam lo yechelu. Now, however, he cannot eat the grapes or any one of this produce that he's picking with his bread. That's the din that we mentioned before, because what's called a navim v'davar acher, you can't eat what you're picking with something else, because then it's going to cause you to eat more. Elam ki not lurshus me balabais. Unless he had permission from the owner, then he's allowed to eat whatever it is that he's allowed to eat with something else. Now, moreover, says the b'raisa, v'le yisvois, he's not allowed to dip this produce that he's working with, b'melach v'yoichel. He's not allowed to dip it in salt and eat it. Now, the assumption in the Gemara originally is because of the halacha of anavim v'davar acher, because you're taking the grape or the grain, whatever it is, with salt, which is something else. And therefore, that's a problem of a navim v'davar acher. In other words, and not because of the halacha of ma'aser, which, as we'll see later, possibly that's because of the halacha of ma'aser. So one thing we see is that you're not allowed to prepare the quality of the thing that you're eating, because salt is not eating with something else. You're just sweetening it somehow by having it with salt, like you'll do with sugar, whatever it is, you're sweetening it. So you see that that's forbidden. So says the Gemara, no, melech vadika navim v'davar acher dami. It's not true. No, salt is definitely like grapes with something else. In other words, even though that you're putting the salt on the grapes and you're not eating it with something else, so therefore it should be like secondary and really part of the grape itself or the grain, but still it's something else. And therefore we still didn't answer the question regarding mahaviv, regarding roasting, where then, as Rashi explains, I would think that maybe that it would be permitted, and therefore there's no raya. We didn't prove conclusively the question that we had, if you let a roast do something to the thing without something intrinsic to it, to sweeten the fruits and then to eat it. But now the Gemara continues regarding this b'raisa that we just brought, which we attempted to bring it as a raya to our question. So one of the halachas mentioned was b'lo yispeis b'melech v'yechel. So as we said, that he's not allowed to dip the produce that he's working with in salt and eat it. And that's the Gemara says, that seems to be contradicted by the following b'raisa. The b'raisa says as follows, if someone hires a worker, la'adir, to dig, ulekashkish, or to cover, let's say, when there's a tree and the roots are uncovered, which is not healthy for the tree, to cover the roots, if he's doing this type of a work, tachas azesim, on the bottom of an olive tree, sahariza lo yechel. So he's not allowed to eat from the olives of the tree, because as we mentioned before, the only permit is when it's towards the end of the work, and here this is just working on the tree, it's not necessarily at the end of the work, and that doesn't permit him to eat from the olives of the tree. Now, says the Braisa, Sachari Livtzer, but if he hired him to pluck the grapes, or Sachari Limsik, or if he hired him to pick the olives, or Sachari Lalakit, or if he hired him to work to gather any other produce, for example, those which fell from off a tree that are on the ground, so he could eat from it, because that's towards the end of the process, that's when the picking of the fruit. And moreover, he's exempt from the halacha of ma'aser. Shatar zichselin, as we said before, it's not considered like an acquisition, which is like his pay, but rather it's that the Torah permits it to the worker, and therefore it's still before the obligation of ma'aser, and therefore he doesn't have to separate ma'aser. Now continues the b'raisa, kotzatz, if the worker stipulated with the owner on the condition that he could eat it. In other words, as Rabbeinu Tam explains, that we're talking about the case of if originally, generally, he would not be able to eat from the produce. For example, let's say he was hired to plow, which doesn't usually give it to him. But let's say he stipulated with the owner that the owner said, okay, you know what, you could do the work and you could eat from the fruits at the same time that you're working. So that's like an acquisition, because now it's not through what the Torah merits it for him, but rather it's because the owner says, okay, we'll put that into the contract. So it's like a sale of sorts. You work and I'll give you my fruits. So then says the b'raisa, achas v'achas yechel. So then they could eat one at a time. In other words, because less than two at a time, it doesn't have the designation of what's called a geirin, which a goyrin is that pile when you have the produce when it's finished. So therefore, it's not going to be considered yet something that's nigmar malach, that is conclusively finished, if you're eating one at a time. So then you could eat one at a time. But shtayim shtayim lo yechol. But two at a time, the worker cannot eat without separating ma'aser. Because two, once you reach that amount, that's already considered something significant. And therefore, it's like this halacha that we're discussing when you're stipulating or when there's a purchase, then that's really going to be considered when you have two that has the title of Geirin, as the Gemara will learn shortly from the Smachta at the end of this daf from a pasuk. Now, as Rashi points out, this halacha of being designated through a stipulation or through a purchase, which already obligates the worker to separate Meiser or someone that buys something, is only a halacha derabban. As the Gemara said in the previous daf in Peches Med Aleph, that it's rabbinic, because actually if it's biblical, there is no difference between two or one. If it's finished, it's finished, and you have the obligation. Here it's rabbinic, so that's going to be only when you have two. But one, which is not even enough to make a pile, then it's not going to be, even in this rabbinic halacha of stipulation or purchase, for it to be considered obligated rabbinically in the halacha of ma'isa. Now, concludes the braisa, v'seifis b'melach v'yechel. And he could dip it into salt and eat it. Now, the assumption of the Gemara is that it doesn't have any relevancy regarding the halacha of ma'aser, regarding dipping the produce into salt. Rather, what the Bryce is saying is that the homeowner cannot stop the worker, meaning when he's allowed to go ahead and take this produce, that he's not allowed to stop him from dipping it into salt as a way of, because it makes it more geshmak, more pleasurable, it's not a stop. But regarding the halachas of ma'aser, that's seemingly the Gemara's assumption is that's not applicable. So that's the end of that price. And that explains the Gemara, what's the contradiction with the previous price. The Gemara says, ahai, regarding which halach of this price did the price need to conclude and say that the worker is allowed to dip the produce into salt and eat it? So as the Gemara explains, ilei ma'aseifa, if you think it's going on the last halacha just said, which was the halacha of when he really is not allowed to eat from the produce, but he stipulated with the owner that said, you know, I know I'm plowing, which usually doesn't get to eat, but let's put it into the contract, I could eat. So it's fine, go ahead and you could eat. And as we said, you can only eat one at a time, because two at a time would already be obligating him rabbinically in the halacha of ma'aser, and then concludes the brisa, and he's allowed to dip it into salt and eat it. And that has the Gemara, but keeping the katzat, since he stipulated with their own private contract that he's allowed to eat from the produce, so kalhecha de baylecha. What do you mean? However he wants to eat, he could eat it. Well, you can't stop me. It's not a biblical law which has certain criteria, and we made up. I could eat as I'm working, which I normally wouldn't even be able to. So now, if I could eat this fruit, I could eat it however I want. I could dip it into salt and eat it. So what would be the chiddush in saying that he could dip it into salt and eat it? So elala varesha rather proves the Gemara must be going back on the previous case, which is the biblical law, which is when he's plucking the produce off of the tree, which they didn't have a stipulation. Now, therefore, and what does the halacha tell us? That he's allowed to dip it into salt and eat it. Now, that contradicts the previous price, which says that in the case of when the Torah's mandate of the poil of the worker, of finishing when he's picking the produce, that he's allowed to eat the produce, it said that he's not allowed to dip it into salt and to eat it. And yet here we see clearly in this brisa that you are allowed to dip it into salt and to eat it. So we have a stira contradiction in the brisas. Some abayis says loy kasha. It's not a difficulty. Khan, here in the first brisa that said that you're not allowed to dip the produce into salt and eat it, is talking about ba'aretz, in Eretz Yisrael. Khan, b'chutz la'aretz, here in this second brisa, talking about out of Eretz Yisrael. Now, as Rashi explains, that this halacha of saying that you're allowed to dip it into salt and eat it is not because of the halacha of this choshen mishpat halacha, meaning regarding the worker type of permit, which is regarding that you're not allowed to eat grapes with something else. Rather, it's because of the designation of the chashivas of the food item, which is regarding the halachas of ma'aser, and it is going on the safe of the last halacha, which was said in that price. As the Gemara explains, ba'aretz, in Eretz Yisrael, which the halacha of ma'aser is biblical, there, kava svisa, there, the dipping into the salt is considered the gemar malacha. Which, why is that considered gemar malacha? Because he has just revealed his intention that there's no, he's not continuing to process this. He's not going to be putting into the goyrin, which that is the end of the process. If you're dipping into the soul, that means to say you're coming to eat it now. They mean to say that is the end of the line. So therefore, since this is a place which we have biblical meiser, dipping into salt makes it ready, mechoyev meiser. So you can't dip it into salt and eat it. But the second brayse that says it's permitted is b'chutz la'aretz loy kavas visa. That's the matter out of Eretz Yisrael, which doesn't have a biblical halacha of meiser. So therefore, although let's say there is rabbinic meiser, but there dipping into salt will not be kaveyat, will not make it designated an obligation of meiser, and that's the difference between the two halachas. Yes, it is talking about because it's not talking about, in other words, because of the din of anov medav achar, which was the Gemara's assumption. Rather, it's talking about the halacha of meiser. And that's where it's going on the last halacha of the Braisa. Therefore, it doesn't contradict once someone in Eretz Yisrael, where you're not allowed to, and once someone in Chutz Laaretz, where you are allowed to. Now, that asked the Gemara Amarava, he says, what do you mean? Mi'ike midi, is there such a thing? The Ba'aretz, you just described it in Eretz Yisrael, kava svisa midaraisa. So he said that the dipping into the salt makes it obligated, it makes it as if it's the Gemara Malacha, which makes it obligated Meiser, biblically. And yet, you're telling me that in out of Eretz Yisrael, like of a svisa, that the dipping into the salt does not make it established in the obligation of Meiser umutzal ketchilo, and that it's permitted even initially? In other words, Rava's question is that in Chutz La'aretz, there is at least a rabbinic halach of Meiser. So let at least the dipping into the salt establish it in the rabbinic obligation, because we know the Talmudic dictum of the Chol de Tokin Rabban, the Kane de Raisa Tokin. Whatever the rabbis instituted, they modeled it after the biblical model. So therefore, although it's not going to have the same force, but how can you say that that's the case of the second Braisa? Is it permitted to dip into salt? If putting into salt out of Eretz Yisrael at least should be rabbinically forbidden, because that should be conveyed for Meiser, like you said regarding biblical Meiser. So Elam HaRava, rather Rava gives a different approach. Says bein ba'aretz bein b'chutz la'aretz. Whether we're talking about produce in Eretz Yisrael or out of Eretz Yisrael, chada loy kavas svisa. Dipping one produce at a time, even into salt, does not establish it for the obligation of meiser. Tarti kavas svisa. But two at a time, that dipping in does establish it for the obligation of meiser, as the Gemara will later on learn, because less than two, it does not have the designation of a goyrin of a pile. And therefore, it makes a difference if it's one or two. Now, katzatz, if, let's say, it was a stipulation between the worker and the owner that he could eat, then bein safas uvein loy safas. Then whether if he's dipping into salt or he's not dipping into salt, it's the actual stipulation which already considers it like a goyrin, if there's two of them, because essentially they're both doing the same thing. They're a mekach, as we said, or a stipulation, is going to be considering it as a chashivus. But again, the chashivus is only if it's two, just like we said regarding dipping into salt, is going to be something that's going to make it a chashivus. But again, it has to have two. So two over here, with the stipulation, whether you dip or you don't dip in the salt, it doesn't need that over here. Achas achas oichel, one at a time you could eat. Shtaim shtaim lo yoichel, but two at a time you cannot eat. Now, since the eating is through the stipulation, so you're not allowed to eat it when there's two, only if there's one. Now, then there's not going to be any establishment, meaning for the obligation of meiser, when you dip it into salt. That's why it's said in the Braisa, seifis b'melech v'eichel, because we're going on the seifa. As we said, the last case they mentioned in the second Braisa was talking about when it was a case of plowing, which you don't get to biblically eat from the produce. But he stipulated with the owner that he could. That's the case of katzatz, like a mekach, which that itself obligates you in Meiser, but when there's two. So when we're saying by katzatz that you could eat, it's obvious to one at a time. So it's talking about one at a time, so then it says you could dip into salt and to eat it. That's why it says you could dip into salt and eat it. Now, loy katzatz, but loy safas, if there was no stipulation, meaning it's the biblical case, and it wasn't dipped into salt, then nechal shtayim shtayim, then you could even eat two at a time, because there's no obligation yet in meiser. Safas, it was dipped into salt, then as we said before, achas achas oichel, then one at a time you could eat, shtayim shtayim lo yoichel, two at a time you cannot eat, and v'avagav did not reshus mebalabais. And even if you had taken permission from the owner to say, could I dip it into salt, and he says yes, you still cannot. Why? The itfalu la meiser v'kavas visa. Because what happens is now it became tevel for meiser, because the dipping into salt of two has established it. Now, that's why in the first brayse it said, v'lo yisvois, you're not allowed to dip it into salt. Why? Because that's from the biblical case of when you get fit to eat from the produce. Not by a case of katzas when they're stipulated. That, as we said, you're allowed to eat even two at a time. But if you're going to dip it into salt, then it's going to be obligated maisa, and you're not going to be able to eat from it to be patra maisa. So again, therefore, the two brayses are not contradictory. The first brayse is talking about the biblical halacha, where there is no katzas, and if you're not safas, you'll be eating even two or three at a time, and you're allowed to. You're allowed to eat because the Torah says you're allowed to eat, and there's no chiva maisa because it wasn't gemar malacha. Therefore, it says the brayse lo yisus v'yechel. Don't dip into salt to eat it because you're eating even two at a time. If you're going to dip it into it, then you're not allowed to anymore because it already has the chiva maisa. The second brayse is talking about the last case over there of the sefer is talking about where it was katzatz imoy. We stipulated. Well, stipulated is like a mekach. A mekach is a chash of a thing that already has the obligation of meiser, again, when there's two. But therefore, if we're saying that you were katzatz and you're allowed to eat because you made up with him and not to be chayv meiser, obviously eating only one at a time. Oh, eating only one at a time, then you could dip it into salt because it doesn't make a difference. Even salt itself is only when there's two. And therefore, it says you could even be yispis, b'yechel, you could dip it into salt and eat it. Now, the Gemara concludes this discussion, which we had, assumption we had all along, v'tarti the kavas tfisa manolan. From where do we know that you need to have two, and not less, to obligate the chiv meiser when you dip it into salt? Which, as Tosfos points out, that the same halacha is as we had it equaled in the Gemara's discussion regarding an acquisition two, or like we said, a katzatz. It's just that since we're talking about this case of Svisa, of dipping into salt, so therefore they picked that as example. But it's regarding anything, why do we say that what obligates it in this halacha of Meiser, if it wasn't the true Gemar Malacha, but rather this rabbinic type of a Gemar Malacha, where like when you're selling it to someone, so, oh, it must be the end of the line, I mean, it's Chashiv, where you're dipping into salt, it must be you're not going to make a pile out of it, that we're saying that it's going to be obligated Meiser, that's only with two, how do we know that? Some Rav Masna, which a taster says that this is nasmachta, it's an illusion. Dhammakra, like the pasuk says in Micha, which the Navi says, ki kibtzam, that when the nations of the world will gather against the Jewish people, ka'amar gurna, that they'll be like the sheaves coming to the threshing house, meaning that they're, although they're gathering again against the Jewish people, it's that the Jews can then, like an animal, step on them, like in the threshing house, all the nations of the world. So what we see from this pasuk is that because a threshing house is only when the things are gathered in there, and the gathering is only when you have more than one, which is at the minimum of two. So you see that the halacha of a geirin is only when there's two, and therefore again, that's why we said this halacha of a mekach, or of the svisa, is only going to be when there's two, and that's how Rava resolved the contradiction between these two brises, because one brise is talking about when there's two or more, and one brayse is talking about only when there's one, and that's why the one that says that you're allowed to dip into salt is talking about when there's one, the one that says you're not allowed to dip into salt is when there's two or more. And therefore the Gemara essentially really changed from how it was in originally of the Gemara's discussion, which had introduced this whole discussion as the last of the rayas regarding are you allowed to go ahead and do a procedure to the grain that you're allowed to eat, which we said that you're not allowed to dip it into salt and to eat it, which the Gemara thought, oh, you see, you're not allowed to do something to it. Which the Gemara answered, no, because salt is like a nav m'davar achar. On that, the Gemara ultimately said, no, it's not actually for the din of a nav m'davar achar, but rather it's coming from a different perspective, from the halacha of meiser, that you're not allowed to dip into salt and to eat it, because when you do that, since you're having two or more, then it already obligates in the chiva meiser, then they can't just dip and to eat it, not because of the halacha of a nav m'davar achar, so that itself would not be a riot of the halacha if you're allowed to roast it or not, which the Gemara didn't resolve, but rather because the halacha is coming from a different vantage point at all, as we resolved it from the other brayser, which said you could dip into salt and to eat, it's regarding the halachas of meiser, because dipping into salt is considered the end of the process, because now you're obviously going to eat it, and therefore, since it's two or more, which is already a geirin, you're not allowed to dip into salt and to eat it, because if then, you would already have an obligation of meiser, and then you have to first separate meiser, and only then could the worker eat from it.